This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk about sports.
I like it.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy.
The weekends in the ATL are busy, and there's always plenty of sports to talk about.
Radio on the weekends.
And that's what we're going to do.
Hell yes, we are.
This is the ATL Show, keeping you up to date on all the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The ATL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
What's going on, Atlanta? Welcome in to the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here hanging out with you on a Sunday morning of a very busy sports weekend here in our fine city of Atlanta. We're going to break it all down. I'm kind of bouncing all over the map, if we're going to be honest. Definitely have a little bit of Braves going on, and I mentioned it. Spring training is underway and saw some really nice things in the first game of spring training. They'll play again today, and we'll try and make our way towards the start of the season. But I did some research, and I looked at some numbers, and we're going to talk about the Braves and why I'm maybe a little more optimistic today than I was maybe in the last week or so, just based on what I believe the Braves can accomplish here. We're going to talk about the Hawks and what they've got coming up as well. Another big game tonight against Detroit. And it's, look, we're not in like a must-win situation, but if they're going to chase down, if they're going to hawk down some of these teams that are ahead of them, you're going to have to beat some of the teams that are ahead of you. You failed to do that against Orlando. You've got to try to do that tonight. Joe Patrick is going to join us in the noon hour as well. And we got a couple different Falcons topics that I want to get to here, including your draft thoughts. And there's a couple of different ways we can do this. And we're going to take some calls in the next hour about this. But I'm really interested in what you can confidently say about the Falcons draft right now. And I'm going to give you some qualifiers. I'll run down the list of things that you can say and probably a couple things that you can't say. But I think the point of the discussion we're going to have when it comes to the Falcons draft is I don't think there's a really strong statement you can make about what the plan is. That's concerning to me. You know, the other thing is there has been a plan in recent years, and we haven't really liked it. And maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't over the course of the long run, right? You go back to all the offensive players you've taken in situations where you could have added someone else. There were small possibilities of who you could draft at 4 or at 8. At 15, the possibilities are endless. So what is the strongest statement you can currently make about the Atlanta Falcons draft? We're going to talk about that starting at 11 o'clock. But I also want to talk about Kirk Cousins because there's this premise that the Falcons are at some point, because I don't believe they're going to be able to trade him, and this is partly the reason why, But at some point, the Falcons are going to cut Kirk Cousins. Obviously, you circle the mid-March area to avoid a roster bonus. And that Kirk Cousins will do what Russell Wilson did last year and sign for what is the veteran's minimum and go play elsewhere. I'm not as convinced. I'm not as convinced. And this is not about the Falcons keeping Kirk Cousins or cutting Kirk Cousins. For the benefit of this discussion, we can assume that he is kind of a free agent. I just don't know how many teams are really that interested. And we're going to talk about that in our next segment as well. Also, the sporting event that took the landscape by storm this week and last week has been the Four Nations face-off. What hockey slash the NHL did in place of an all-star game. Great numbers, great passion, emotion, fights. And the suggestion that every other sport needs to try it is pretty baseless, if we're going to be honest. And the lack of understanding what works in hockey and what would work in the NBA, what would work in pro football, what would work in baseball, I'm really shocked to sit here and have read so many reactions about the NBA should try this or Major League Baseball needs to go to this format. That's not going to work. It's not a comparative situation. We'll get into it at 10:40, but I'm really surprised to see the lack of intelligence of a lot of sports fans, and not just fans, like high-profile analysts that are suggesting other leagues do this or that to compare. And it just doesn't make sense, and I'll explain why. But again, it is a very heavy Atlanta sports weekend. And we had our guys, Bo and Mike, down at Atlanta Motor Speedway a couple of times this weekend. Obviously, Friday morning for the morning shift. They were also there yesterday at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Crazy finish yesterday evening. And that just sets up today's Ambetter 400 at NASCAR's Atlanta Motor Speedway. It's starting, I think pregame starts at 2. Who knows when the race will actually start. But it'll be interesting to see. And Atlanta is a fun track and some of the favorite tracks of a couple of different drivers. I've heard them mention that Atlanta's where it's at. So we'll see. But we've also got spring training, we mentioned. Chris Sale and Bryce Elder look good. And that's what you want to see. Now, Chris Sale came out after his appearance, two innings, pretty strong two innings, and said, I'm like barely doing anything. I'm not throwing my good stuff. I'm not going to use my good stuff. So he already looks like he's doing well. Bryce Elder looks strong. Dylan Dodd had a couple of speed bumps here. And it's one of those things where we don't really know how long Spencer Strider is going to be out. And I don't know about you guys. I don't have a ton of confidence in who's going to be filling in the fourth and fifth spot in the rotations. But A.J. Smith-Shawver and Dylan Dodd and Hurston Waldrip and Bryce Elder and Holmes. I mean, it's we're going to need a lot of these guys, a lot of different arms at various times. So Dodd hoping to take a step forward after what he called disappointing the past couple of seasons. Didn't do that yesterday, but obviously one outing does not make a season. The same way one victory does not make a campaign. Talking about Atlanta United. They beat Montreal last night 3-2 at home, the season opener at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 65,000, just a little over 65,000 people there. The third largest soccer crowd in the entire world this weekend. And so the Atlanta United obviously doing their thing. Lotte Loth comes in and a lot of questions, a lot of high hopes about your new goal scorer for Atlanta United. He pops two home. Also has an assist on the eventual deciding game winner, an 85th-minute goal from Edwin Mosquera, who came on as a sub. And so things get started in a good way for Atlanta United. And look, they've got to shore up the defense. You don't want to be giving up two goals at home to a Montreal side that finished, what, eighth in the standings last year. But you are missing a couple players defensively, including Pedro Amador and Brooks Lennon. You hope to get them back soon. But the offense, if it can win you games, I think you'll take that. Again, I'm Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. It is the Abe TL Show. I got Noel with me hanging out for a little bit. I think Eric Slaughter will jump in a couple of hours and join the fun as well. And we're going all over the map today. And we're going to start out, like I mentioned, with some Kirk Cousins talk. And it's just, you want to know why teams are not going to trade for Kirk Cousins. The money aside, I just don't know where he ranks among the free agent quarterbacks. And that's going to be the focus of our next segment. There's a lot more quarterbacks of, I don't want to say high quality, right? Like high quality quarterbacks aren't available, but a pretty decent to moderate quality, which is probably the discussion that Kirk Cousins is in. And there's going to be a lot of teams that probably aren't drafting quarterbacks, at least not to start, right? You got a couple QBs at the top of the draft. They're probably starting. But, like, if you draft Jalen Milroe, you're probably looking for a stopgap quarterback. And there's a couple out there, a couple that may be of more interest than Kirk Cousins. So I'm really interested to get into that debate as well. College basketball rolls on. And by the way, I'm going to be with you here until 1:15. On the other side of that, at 1:15, Big Ten basketball, the old Oak and Bucket basketball version, Purdue at Indiana. And this is an Indiana team that has already said goodbye essentially to head coach Mike Woodson. I don't know if people in this town are happy about that or would prefer to have Woody continue to suffer up there in Bloomington. But this is a team that is right on the cusp of the bubble for the NCAA tournament. I don't believe they should be. They are not good. I say this as an IU alum. They are not good. But they took Purdue to the brink on the road last time. They're looking for another high-profile win that maybe could change the discussion about which side of the bubble they are on. And so we got coverage there at 1:15. And this is a Purdue team that is ranked where? They've dropped a little bit after last week. They dropped six spots. They were ranked, what, seventh a week ago? They're now 13th. So if Indiana at home, Assembly Hall, could pick up a win, that would certainly help their tournament hopes. But we've got discussion of Atlanta sports over the next 3 hours until we head off to Big Ten basketball country. Speaking of college basketball, Jonai Broome with a new season high, 31 points. That came against Georgia yesterday. Auburn number one wins 82-70, and Georgia Tech had rallied to get to 500. They fall back below 500. They get beat by 15 against Boston College. All right, when we come back here on the Abe TL Show, I'm going to break down Kirk Cousins and just how enticing he really is to the other teams. And it's going to be tough to kind of fully weigh and measure that because you don't know essentially what other quarterbacks are going to cost. You have a general idea. You do know, if cut, what Kirk Cousins would cost, and it would be the veterans minimum. Is that enough to push him past a couple of other quarterbacks? We're going to talk about that on the other side. If you want to hit me up on Twitter or on the phones, 404-726-0929 is the phone number. On Twitter, at Abe Gordon, Blue Sky and Threads. You can find me there as well. I don't really use Instagram, but I have an account there, I guess. It's mostly just like pictures of my dog, Chipper, or for the most part. So if you're interested in seeing a almost 12-year-old husky, follow me on Instagram as well. When we come back, Kirk Cousins, just how enticing is he? It's Abe Gordon in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon hanging out. Really fun night, and I was kind of mentioning it, but like, really fun night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium yesterday. And a couple of like real big pops from the crowd. Obviously, pregame, the introduction of Miggy, or reintroduction, whatever you want to call it. Certainly in-game, we had, and I see Greg Clarkson, who's about to walk out. Don't walk out just yet. But certainly in-game, we had the Latte Lath goals as well. The thing that got, oh, he walked out. He didn't hear me. That's all right. So a couple of big pops, right? Miggy's introduction, you heard 65,000 fans go wild. Certainly when Lotte Loth skies for a headed goal in the late stages of the first half, the place went nuts. I mean, obviously they'd cheer for any Atlanta United lead, but for Lotte Loth to be the guy to open his account to start the season, that place got a bump. I'll tell you what got a huge bump pregame was, you know, they always try and get like a celebrity or something that comes and nails in the golden spike to start the game, right? He got the big three hits and then the train horn blares, and they do all that. Yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it was David Harbour, who is a relatively famous actor that's obviously going to be in the Thunderbolts movie that's coming out and has been in, really has seen his stock kind of explode over the last probably 5 to 10 years after being a pretty good, I don't know, it's not like a disrespectful name to call people character actors, but he was not a leading man, and he is now. And so he was there. And I'm like, oh, David Harbour, let's go. So a couple different pops for Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And that was probably a little bit different from how the crowd reacted at times at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the Atlanta Falcons season. A lot of that has to do with the play and performance of Kirk Cousins. And we don't need to get into the future of Kirk with the Falcons and whether you want the team to cut him, if you want to be petty and to hold him and bench, all that stuff. We've talked about that before. What I'm talking about is what Kirk Cousins want and if the rest of the NFL wants him. Because the ideal plan for Kirk is to be released, to be able to sign somewhere as a free agent and start again in the NFL. That's a great plan. Good for him. Here's the thing. I don't think he's at the front of that line. Like, of all the people who are going to be available, how far down do you go before you get to the team's interest in Kirk Cousins? And every situation is different, right? Some teams are maybe trying to find a quarterback that they think on a 1 or 2 year basis they can win with. Essentially what the Falcons were trying to do. Where does he rank among that group? Now, as a bridge quarterback to maybe develop a rookie draft pick, where is he in that group? As a potential quarterback in the future, though, he's not in that discussion. Now, Cousins, in theory, is going to be the cheapest veteran starting quarterback. Is that overriding everything else? Just the fact that he'll be cheaper than everyone else? Potentially. For some teams, maybe. But if you're a contender, right, which is where these guys want to go as they wrap up their career. Matthew Stafford, if he gets traded, if he gets moved, he's looking for a contender. Aaron Rodgers, if he continues playing, is looking for a contender. Russell Wilson is looking for a contender. Kirk Cousins is looking for a contender. Is a contender going to sign Kirk Cousins over those guys just because he's the cheapest? Is that a contending, we could win the Super Bowl move? I don't think so. So what are the contenders really looking for? Because along with Kirk Cousins, some of the guys I think are up for grabs, right? Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, we already mentioned. Justin Fields. Maybe Derek Carr, we'll see. Depending on what the Vikings do. Sam Darnold. Jameis Winston, I think Cooper Rush becomes the free agent. Daniel Jones. And so Cousins is trying to rebuild the image of, here's how I led the Falcons to 6-3. I was hurt. I was injured. I can still play the way I did in the first 10 weeks of that season if you give me another chance. And a couple of questions that you're going to have to ask about Kirk Cousins and about some of these other quarterbacks. All right, so let's say Kirk Cousins was hurt and was limited. Is that the only reason his play declined? Do you still view Kirk as a top half of the league quarterback? And I think you're asking the same question about Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers still an elite quarterback? I mean, he won back-to-back MVPs in 2020 and 2021. Is that long ago? Now, I would suggest at his age and with the injuries that Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers underwent, yeah, like 2020 and 2021 kind of is that long ago. When you look at Russell Wilson, what happened at the end of the Steelers season? Was the finish to the year about him and his performance? Was it about other aspects of that team? Can you separate it? Does that change how he's viewed? And again, what are teams looking for? Are they looking for guys that could potentially start one or two more years? Or are they looking for guys that maybe could be a longer bridge? I don't know if you could necessarily win with some of these guys, and I mean win a Super Bowl, but can they hold down the fort for a number of years? In my mind, like, I'm thinking of like Geno Smith, right? Maybe you guys feel differently about Geno, but like the Seahawks are not winning a Super Bowl with Geno Smith. They're just not. I'm sorry. I think he's an okay quarterback. I think he's serviceable. They're not winning a Super Bowl with him. Are teams comfortable with that? Because I start to talk about like Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold. If you believe it, which I don't, Cooper Rush. These are guys I think can hold down the fort for a number of years, 5 or 6 seasons. I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with any of them. Maybe Justin Fields. I guess in theory his ceiling still seems higher than the rest. I mean, I think Daniel Jones got a raw deal in New York. I don't think Daniel Jones is winning a Super Bowl. And then you discuss the teams that need a quarterback, either in the draft, in a trade, or, as Kirk Cousins would hope, in free agency. Now, again, some of these are going to be taken off the list, right? I don't necessarily know which ones, but like Browns, Titans, Giants, in the draft, probably 2 of those 3 teams are taking quarterback, you would think. If not, maybe the Raiders slide in there. Maybe the Saints find a way, although I don't see them going, we don't even know if they're parting ways with Derek Carr yet. They may not even be on this list. But when I look at the teams that need a quarterback, here's the list I put together. Jets. Steelers. And again, they could bring back Russell Wilson. Browns, Titans, Raiders, Giants. For the moment, the Vikings. Potentially the Saints. A lot of talk about Stafford. Maybe the Rams are in search of a quarterback. And then kind of a wild card here is the Colts. Are we sure the Colts are in on Anthony Richardson? I'm not convinced, but I also don't think they're going to pay another quarterback a solid fee to come in and compete. But if Kirk Cousins can be had for a mil and a half or 2 mil, whatever the number is, would the Colts bring him in? I mean, they have Joe Flacco as backup, or they had. Would they bring in Kirk Cousins to compete with Anthony Richardson? Would Cousins accept that? Or does he need to go to a place that he would start? Again, when I talk about the quarterbacks that I'd probably take over Kirk Cousins in this discussion, at the time, based on performance, is Sam Darnold above Kirk Cousins? If you're a contender, possibly. Is Aaron Rodgers? probably. Now, there's a big mess with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, you got to deal with all the nonsense. But if he's good, he's better than Kirk, right? Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, for me. I never thought that the Steelers should have benched Justin Fields. I thought he was playing decently well. They were winning games. Russell Wilson comes in, runs off a win streak, and then that all fades. What about Daniel Jones? Depending on cost, I might take Daniel Jones over Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins is really putting a lot of stock into trying to make other teams believe he was hurt or he was injured. And so this premise of what are the Falcons going to do with Kirk Cousins and why are they not able to trade for him? Why are they not able to trade? There is a relatively robust quarterback market, in my opinion, for quarterbacks at the level and quality of Kirk. And if the biggest draw to Kirk Cousins is that it's going to be $2 million as opposed to a higher price, and I guess that's fine with him, I'd be pretty upset if I were a fan base. And the only reason we're adding Kirk Cousins is because he's cheapest. Now, I think ultimately, though, that is why Kirk Cousins is going to get a job. Because if Kirk Cousins costs $12 million per year, which is, by the way, way less than what the Falcons are paying. But even at like $12 million, I don't know where on this list he ranks. He's only in this discussion because he's the cheapest guy available. It's the only reason. But of course, for that to become available, he has to get released by the Atlanta Falcons. No team's going to trade for him. They only want him if he's as cheap as can be. And so we'll see how the Falcons play it out from there. We've talked about it. Terry Fontenot says he's comfortable keeping him on as the backup. We'll see if that is true or not. The $10 million comes in mid-March, and the expected decision to be made by then. Joe Patrick, Atlanta Falcons beat reporter for 92.9 The Game. He's going to join me at 12:40, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Certainly Kirk Cousins' future and just how enticing he is to other teams around the NFL. All right, when we come back here, the Four Nations face-off. It took the sports world by storm to the point where everyone wants every other league to try it, do something similar. There's a problem. It ain't going to work in any of those other leagues. I'll tell you more on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. The Abe TL Show continues in about 5 minutes right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Back in 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show hanging out here in the Kia Studios. I just put out a post on Twitter for our next segment. And if you want to call in and get in line, feel free. 404-726-0929. There are some parameters I'll get to when we get to 11 o'clock. But in general, and we got a couple of segments to take some calls if you want. What's the strongest statement you can currently make about the Falcons draft pick at 15? Here's the problem. I don't have a lot of strong statements that I can make confidently about what they're going to do at 15. Maybe you feel differently. We'll talk about it together in the next couple of minutes there when we get to 11 o'clock. But feel free to jump on the phone lines, 404-726-0929, to get in line to talk about the Falcons' top draft pick, 15th overall, and what you feel confident saying about the plans. Now, the Four Nations face-off happened over the past, I don't know, let's say 10 days, 12 days, whatever it was, 2 weeks. It essentially took the place of the NHL All-Star festivities, All-Star weekend. And what it was is a mini tournament featuring the U.S., Finland, Canada, and Sweden. And it drew pretty impressive numbers, specifically the two U.S.-Canada matches. The championship match on a Thursday night, mind you, was larger than every single NHL TV audience since at least 1970. I'm guessing they had to use that clarifier because maybe there was some Olympic gold medal stuff that drew larger audiences, and you could understand that, you know. But NHL going back to pre-1970, hadn't been a single game on ESPN that drew a larger TV audience. Canada does beat the U.S. in overtime in the championship match after losing to the United States in round robin. And look, I'm not going to deny this was a fun tournament. It was a fun format. But the suggestion that the other sports leagues mimic or copy and give it a go is asinine. It's a wild misunderstanding of why it worked in the NHL or hockey. We don't, you know, it's really not even an NHL thing. It's an international hockey thing, and why it won't work in the other sports. And now football's got its own kind of issues, right? I mean, they've gone so far outside of their way that there's just no path back. And I can kind of understand it from a we're not taking any risks with these high-priced players situation. But they're not even in this discussion. This is really an NBA and a baseball thing, and I get that. But for my money, it's not really as simple as do what the NHL did. Like, that's not going to work in the NBA. I'd be shocked if it did. And now, look, I'll be honest. I'm the only one who's, like, comfortable with the NBA All-Star game. Like, it didn't bother me. I really liked the format. I didn't like the presentation. I didn't like all the nonsense and all the breaks, and you didn't have to do that, and you can improve upon that. I actually liked the format. I actually liked the mini games and all that stuff. They just need to get rid of all the nonsense in between. But you can't really just grab four national teams like you do in hockey. There's not a country that the U.S. has that history with. There's not a rivalry of U.S. basketball and someone else. How are you going to put together national teams? The European basketball leagues are in season. You're just going to stop multiple leagues? It's not going to work. There's no Canada-U.S. in basketball. Like there is in hockey. And I don't mean specifically Canada-U.S., but look, U.S.-Serbia in the semifinals of the Olympics last year, U.S.-France in the gold medal game last year in the Olympics, great games. Not a rivalry. There's no real emotion there. That game mattered because it was a gold medal on the line or an opportunity to get to the gold medal match was on the line. It's not like it is in Canada and U.S. hockey. I don't think you could do a world team, right? Like do the American All-Stars against the international All-Stars. I don't think there's enough players. Nor do I think the players would care. I mean, I think I saw like the NBA 70% American, and I think there were what? Like I'd have to go back and look at the list. 7 or 8 international All-Stars. So you're either adding people to the team who aren't all-stars, or you're just doing away with the format altogether. And would players on the U.S. or world team in the NBA really try harder? I just don't think so. There's a level of pride in Canada hockey against the U.S. hockey. It's just different than any non-Olympic basketball tournament we've seen. Like, the U.S. doesn't even send their A squad to the FIBA World Cup for basketball. Like, they don't send their guys. They send, like, a B squad of guys. It's good enough to win. If they don't win, who cares? And I'm supposed to believe that in a exhibition game, people are going to care? They don't care for legitimate tournaments if it's not the Olympics. And again, like, if you want to figure something out to make the NBA's All-Star festivities run better, but, like, the format isn't it. The NHL just blew off the All-Star entirely. They took a 2-week break. Is that what the NBA is going to do? I don't think so. And like I said, I actually don't mind the NBA All-Star Game. I just kind of accept it for what it is. I don't try and find ways to make it more competitive or intense, even though I do think they did that this year. Again, the issue wasn't the format. The issue was the presentation. But who do we draw? If you're a U.S. basketball fan, who do we draw that makes you think, oh, man, I hope the guys take this seriously. I don't want to lose to so-and-so in this fake tournament. There's not a team like that. Not like there is in hockey. And the U.S.-Canada rivalry has gotten better and better and better. And part of that is because Canada has gotten the better of the U.S. for a number of years now. You don't have anyone getting the better of the United States in basketball. And if it happens once or twice, I'm really supposed to care when it's not the Olympics? And maybe you can suggest, well, you didn't think anyone would care for a non-Olympic hockey tournament. I don't know if that's the case. Now, I do think the NHL needs to seriously consider doing this more often. This is supposedly a one-off, and with this success, we'll see. Now, you're going to get some sort of repeat next year when you do have the Winter Olympics and NHL players are going to be involved. And so you're kind of going to carry that a little bit. I just don't think it's going to work in the NBA. Would it work in Major League Baseball? Again, who's the U.S.'s rival in baseball? Japan, right? That's who they lost to in the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago. Is that you think a U.S.-Japan instead of the All-Star Game is going to make a difference? You're going to be all juiced up about it? And I do like the attitude and the emotion of the World Baseball Classic. I do. I don't know if I can fake interest there like that for an exhibition game. I'm supposed to believe a one-off matters? I just find that tough to believe. I don't think it's going to work in baseball. I don't think it's going to work in basketball either. I think there's a very – by the way, did anyone watch the U.S.-Sweden game where Sweden beat the U.S.? Did anyone care? Like, here's the point. You're not amped up for U.S. hockey. You're amped up for U.S.-Canada. Did anyone know what the score was when the U.S. beat Finland before the Canada match? Anyone know? Because you don't care about those games. Because it's not about the tournament. It's not about round robin. It's about just U.S.-Canada. There is no rival in basketball for the U.S. that elicits those emotions, and I would say the same thing for baseball. By the way, the MLB All-Star Game, whether or not it's losing audience, is the closest thing to the actual sport that's played during the regular season, because you can't really take baseball that unserious. A pitcher's not going to get up there and lollygag 61 miles an hour. No, he's still throwing. Maybe he takes a little something off. He's still throwing 88, 90, 92. And maybe you don't lay out entirely in the outfield to try and get a diving, sliding catch. Maybe you take it on a hop, if that's your concern. You can't really take baseball off the way you don't play defense in the NBA All-Star Game. So I'm fine with where the baseball All-Star Game is, too. By the way, like, can't we just be okay with the All-Star Game being a celebration and a coronation of the seasons these guys are having without expecting this game to be intense? And I don't want to sit here. Back in my day, all right, fine, man. Like, cool, I guess. I'm not interested in that. Like, I'm just here to celebrate and have fun with the players. And so I'm fine watching and laughing and seeing dudes do cool stuff. I don't need them ham-checking 38 feet from the basket. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the one that's soft, and that's fine too. This stuff doesn't bother me. Like, these guys being buddy-buddy at the All-Star game, I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. It's not some competitive event. It's a celebration of guys who are excelling. We got Tim hanging out in Georgia. We're going to get some phone calls going on the Falcons draft in our next segment. Let's see what Tim wants to talk about here, if he's talking about the Four Nations face-off in the All-Star game. What's going on, Tim?
Well, I was actually listening, and I'm pretty sure I heard a host on 92.9 during the week say, wouldn't it be interesting if the NBA players from America played all the international guys?
But it wouldn't. That's my thing. It wouldn't. We had essentially a European team in the format this year. They didn't try harder. There's no reason to believe they're going to try harder.
Well, you wouldn't know until they played.
Didn't we do a U.S. versus the world a couple years ago? Like, I have to go back. I feel like we did some sort of international group of players against the Americans. And part of the issue, Tim, is that I don't think you have a team full of Euros. Now, unless you're selecting an international team that's not just those invited to the All-Star game, like I said, the NBA, I think I saw, is 70% made up of Americans. I don't think there was enough players. You could have a starting five and a short bench, maybe eight or nine players, but you're not going to have a full roster of players. And again, I just don't believe they're going to try any harder. You split the teams up however you want it, they're going to come in with the same mindset they currently have.
Well, you have to try something a little bit different. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect a better outcome.
Here's the thing, and I appreciate the call, Tim. I'm not expecting a better outcome. Like I said, I'm comfortable with where these All-Star games are at. I don't need this to be some intense matchup. To me, let it be what it is. It's a celebration of excellence. They don't need to showcase it one more time in a game that doesn't matter. The regular season matters. The playoffs matter. This is a celebration of excellence. And I'm comfortable with them doing what they're doing. In short, look, if you want to try it, I'm not saying don't try it. I'm suggesting it's not going to work. You can try it, and they probably will try it after the success of the Four Nations face-off. What I'm saying is I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think people are going to deem it serious enough. Again, if it wasn't Canada, let's say it was Ukraine's not really fielding the hockey team right now. Let's say it was Norway, Finland, and Sweden, and the U.S. Does anyone care? Is anyone watching? Is anyone paying attention? You only paid attention because it was Canada. That is the rivalry in international hockey, at least from the North American perspective, is U.S.-Canada. No one watched the U.S.-Finland game. No one watched the U.S.-Sweden game. There is no rivalry like that in the NBA. And you can kind of try and build up some U.S. versus the world nonsense. I don't think the players are going to be any more invested than they were this year. That's my suggestion. You want to try it? I'm not saying don't try it. I'm just suggesting I don't think it's going to work. And I don't think it's going to work in baseball either. And football is just a lost cause because that's not even football, whatever they're doing. All right, when we come back, we are shifting gears to the Atlanta Falcons. Draft is heavily approaching. The combine starts this coming week, as does draft prep. Well, hopefully draft prep has been going on. But the question I have for you, and I put it on social media. You can find it there, but you could also call in and address it as well. 404-726-0929. What is the strongest statement you can currently make about the Atlanta Falcons' top draft pick? 404-726-0929. I got a couple of things that I maybe will suggest you can or can't say. And I'm definitely going to take a couple things off the table because like 10 people are going to call in and say it. We'll get to that too. What's the strongest statement you can currently make about the Atlanta Falcons draft pick at 15? That's what's coming up next. It's the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here hanging out on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.